The Playlist with Ben and Fiona.
Hello and welcome to the 77th annual Golden Globe Awards.
Welcome to The Playlist, where we talk about movies and TV shows that are worth your time. I'm Fiona Williams, and I manage our online coverage of movies and TV here at SBS, and I'm joined by my co-host, SBS Channel Manager, Ben Nguyen. Hey Ben, Happy New Year to you.
Hi Fiona, Happy New Year to you as well.
What are we going to talk about today?
Well, we have just got off viewing the Golden Globe Awards. So there's a lot to digest there. I think, you know, it was a wild time. The Golden Globes, well, we can talk about that. Okay. The Golden Globes are known for being the awards fest that involves both TV and movies and where booze flows freely. So that often impacts on how people take on the event.
Yes. Can be a little bit loosey-goosey.
That's right. But I think there were awards there for a few of our favourites and then, you know, perhaps one or two surprises and the return of a controversial host.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting these awards, so I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did. NBC clearly don't care either, fifth time. So, I mean, Kevin Hart was fired from the Oscars because of some offensive tweets. Hello. Lucky for me, the Hollywood Foreign Press can barely speak English. And...
Well, Ricky Gervais was back.
Yes. Should we start with Ricky?
Well, so, I mean, sure. Makes sense.
Well, you know, the Golden Globes started with Ricky, yeah. So we may as well.
We're going to be 3.5
suit.
Hours and we're going to do it.
And we're going to complain about it the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
So his opening monologue, you know, so I guess you know, set it up for people. I think everyone kind of knows this. He's back for his fourth time. They've taken a break with a few different hosts for a while. But he's known for his controversial statements.
Well, yeah. He isn't afraid to say things to people's faces, which is a good thing. Yeah, he's not a stranger to controversy himself. I mean, his tweets lately have been pretty trash, frankly, some of them.
Oh, I don't know about that.
A couple of anti-trans ones of the J.K. Rowling kind of thing. Yeah, you know, his whole shtick is, well, he just kept saying repeatedly, I don't care, I don't care, here we go.
Yeah.
Comes out with the beer and the swagger, very much the swagger to speak some truth bombs at the crowd.
Yeah, out to roast the room a little bit.
Yeah.
There were some easy targets there, the movie Cats.
I mean, come on, you know my thoughts. Yeah, it was there. There wasn't too much on the Cats front, really.
But well, there was an extended joke about Judi Dench.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'd forgotten about that. I tried to forget that one, actually. Fair point, yeah.
I won't repeat it. Leonardo DiCaprio, or as Brad Pitt calls him, LDC.
And the age of his ladies,
yes.
Lady friends.
Well, let's face it, that's worthy of skewering.
Yeah.
So the joke there was that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, 3 hours long, by the time Leonardo DiCaprio had sat through one screening, his girlfriend was already too old for him.
Yes. Boom tish. Well, yeah, that writes itself.
Right.
Yeah. He's well known for it. He takes pride in it, but look on his face, he had a grin, pretty wide at that crack. Yeah. Pay that one. There was a Harvey Weinstein joke that was...
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein was mentioned sort of later on in the piece about in the introduction to Sandra Bullock.
That's right, the Bird Box, introducing her as the star of Bird Box from last year with the blindfold on, basically not being able to see what was happening on
the film
set.
In which, in order to survive, you had to act like you hadn't seen things.
Correct.
Which is what the experience of working like Harvey Weinstein must have been like. Yes. The crowd at that point did not look favorably on that joke.
And he threw it back on them for working with him. Yes. I mean, jokes have to explain are great. Yeah. No.
Jeremy Epstein came in for, you know, few remarks.
Correct.
And worthy speeches was the other one that he had a go at. People trying to make celebrities trying to make political points when, as he put it, they're as far removed from ordinary life as possible.
Correct. There was an Apple crack just before that as well about Apple TV and the morning show, to which there was a cutaway to Tim Cook.
Mm.
There wasn't one straight after that when he drew attention to the manufacturing processes and the people employed to assemble Apple phones and their wages and perhaps living conditions and, you know, is a slave labor.
A bit of slave labor in China cracks and no cuts back to Tim Cook for that.
Yeah.
No reaction shot there.
No reacts on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Intriguing.
We did get a few amusing reaction shots, as in not really loving the jokes from, you know, like a Jonathan Pryce and a Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is already a meme. Yeah. Cutaway was pretty good. We'll get to it, but Tom Hanks got the Cecil B. DeMille Award, and Ricky Gervais Fair made the point that the director of Once Upon a Time in the Neighborhood, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Yes.
Once Upon a Time in the Neighborhood would be an entirely different film.
We just sat through an over 3-hour awards show. I think we were allowed a little bit of confusion.
It's true, but that is not a Tarantino film. Uh-huh. I'll just clarify that. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, directed by Mariel Heller, didn't get any love for a director nomination, as it well should have. And Ricky Gervais did make that point, but his joke about it did not land at all. It's kind of crickets, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think the room were on side for Ricky this time.
Yeah.
But a number of our favourites were rewarded.
Some of our...
Tonight.
Absolutely. I mean, if you haven't listened to our top tens of movies and TVs and whatnot from our final episode.
Yeah, our best of lists.
Year. Correct.
The last episode. Get back on that.
Absolutely. A lot of friends of the show, as I like to say, were award winners tonight. It's good to see, you know, people who had a great chance to speak to about their films were up on the podium tonight, which was great.
Yeah,
Renee Zellweger, Taron Egerton.
That's right.
Brian Cox for Succession. You know, we didn't talk to him for Succession, but I'll still trade on that.
Yeah, and Parasite won for Best Foreign Film.
Of course it did, with an excellent crack by director Bong, telling people
I saw you tweet that out.
I did. I loved it. Yeah, saying once you overcome the 1-inch-tall barrier of subtitles, you'll be introduced to so many more amazing films.
So true.
So true.
In fact, it should be the SBS motto, I think.
If we haven't already.
I think he's just given us one.
Yeah. Well, channel manager of SBS, let's use that one.
SBS On Demand, the home of the 1-inch subtitles.
Absolutely. Look, if this doesn't happen as we speak, then we're not doing our jobs. But sadly, that was the only one it won for. It was also nominated for screenplay, but didn't get a look in there.
Screenplay was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Screenplay was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, yes.
Yeah. So Quentin Tarantino got up for that one. He did make a amusing joke about when he wins a writing awards, he doesn't think that he should thank anybody because he's the one who's been sitting there in front of the computer doing all the work.
Which is the most Quentin Tarantino way to accept an award ever. But did relent in this case and did thank her.
Thank his cast.
Indeed, yes.
And Fleabag, also a show which featured highly in our best of lists.
Mm-hmm. Numero uno for you, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And no surprises that Phoebe Waller-Bridge in for more accolades. So, you know.
And still looks genuinely touched at winning them all the time. Well, she gives a good acceptance speech to make it look like she's still surprised that she's winning all this as well. So, she's wonderful the way she wins. And in an amazing suit that also she's now going to auction off and use the money for bushfire-related charities. So that's a great move.
It is really, really nice, really generous move. Mm. I think that we should call out there were a lot of shout-outs to the bushfires in Australia and recognition for the great work that the volunteer firefighters are doing against such horrendous conditions all around the country.
Mm. Well, I think it would be weird if they didn't, largely because there are so many Australians in Hollywood anyway, so there were a lot of them going to be on the stage. And
well, I think it was all sort of kicked off by Russell Crowe, honorary Australian and certainly an Australian resident, who couldn't make the awards in order to sort of pick up what he did eventually win for The Loudest Voice, Best Actor in a Limited Series. And he just had sent a sort of text message, acceptance speech really, saying, make no mistake, the tragedy in Australia is climate change based. He was too busy, as his continued to tweet out, actually volunteer firefighter himself.
Excellent. Putting his money where he, you know, actually physically doing something. It's fantastic.
Well, it set the tone, I think, for what a lot of people spoke to across the awards.
It really did. And I like also, you know, who was winning an award for playing Roger Ailes, head of Fox News, and just batting away this climate denial that's happening at the moment being perpetuated largely by Fox News, you know, news-related properties. Yeah. I just thought it was a wonderful footnote to having played Roger Ailes to then use his platform and the global spotlight that he was getting as a result of being one of the first awards announced, I think. Well, yeah. The first, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, one of the very first.
At the Golden Globes. So well played, Russ.
Yes. And sorry, you were saying many Australians in the room, so that was one of the reasons why this came to hand.
Yes. But, I mean, also just so much topic of the news around the world at the moment. So it's so prevalent in, well, certainly on your social media feeds, all the, you know, all the news, major news organisations are carrying new updates about what's going on in Australia. So it's, it would be so weird for it not to have been mentioned.
True. I think as I've sort of taken it in, I think the US has taken it a while to begin to report on the Australian bushfires, but certainly it's hit all the major outlets just due to the scale and how long it's been going for. So, you know, I think we had Pierce Brosnan talking about it amongst a plethora of
Trish Arquette,
other stars.
Yeah, well, Joaquin Phoenix, well, you know, Cate Blanchett as well, stressed that volunteer firefighters are the ones, you know, battling the blazes here. Mm. But Joaquin Phoenix, in accepting his award for Joker.
Also came up for discussion in that best of list. It wasn't agreed upon, shall we say that?
I think we shall.
The other award which it won was for best movie score, which is deserved.
Absolutely. No. And when they played the score under him walking to the stage, like it reinforces what a great score it was. I think Todd Phillips leaned far too heavily on it, which is one of the movie's flaws, but it's a great score. So I have no issue with it winning. And female composer.
Yeah, the first solo win for a woman in that category at the Golden Globes.
Yeah. I mentioned before Joaquin Phoenix came up and said, it is fantastic that Australia is being recognised in the speeches here and shout outs to Australia and whatever, but we need to actually do something, and called on people for getting their private jets from Palm Springs to the awards.
I did like that line.
That was good.
The music was trying to play him off stage.
Probably by someone who owns a private jet. Yeah, sort of got that right now, but it was late in his speech. Needed to be said, yeah. It's more than just thoughts and prayers.
Speaking of moving speeches, there were a few goodies in there.
There were.
I think Michelle Williams, I thought that was very strong, very
powerful.
She
always gives good speech.
Yeah.
Yeah. And didn't disappoint tonight. It was
Talking about a woman's right to choose and how having that right available to her had allowed her to have the career that she's had.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah, I thought that was really strong.
It really was. And Tiffany Haddish behind her getting whoops and that was very funny. She was one of the presenters who gave the award to Michelle. So all the whooping you heard behind her was Tiffany Haddish backing her up on that.
I thought sadly, and I think this obviously was a time constraint thing, but Renee Zellweger had clearly spent a lot of time crafting a speech, but she got
played off
as well, which sort of really took away from her moment, which I thought was a pity.
It was indeed. Another good speech, Patricia Arquette. She always gives good speeches.
And she brought up not only the bushfires but also the US potentially being on the brink of war. Mm-hmm. So tapping into what's going on in the news today and speaking about the opportunity to make a better world for our children.
Quite right. A really good speech, very short but to the point, but you really get a sense of who the person is. Rami Youssef gave a great speech for his, I think, broadly a surprise win for Rami, the Hulu show.
Yeah, I think that's sort of a bit of an under-the-radar show. That was the first award of the night, first speech.
Correct.
And he made a crack about, I know you guys haven't seen my show, and that they might have even assumed that he was the editor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was good and pointed. One thing I didn't care for Ricky Gervais's speech, and this all happens in the Hollywood Foreign Press related jokes at the Golden Globes because of the word foreign in the title. Mm. There's just always a play with, they're from other countries, and it's the expectation that Salma Hayek and Sofia Vergara will come out and do a joke about not being able to be understood. It happens a lot, and that they do it every year, and I just shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah. That joke in particular, I did.
They do it every year. Yeah. It's just happened all the time. And the joke about not being it happens in the Oscars too. So it's not necessarily just related to Golden Globes, but the Foreign Language Award, yeah, annoys me. That said, the Oscars have actually changed the title. So it's Best International Film going forward this year.
Oh, okay. Olivia Colman was a winner once again, but this time for The Crown.
Yes, which surprised me because it's only just come out. But I guess the whole thing's dropped at the same time. So I guess it qualified. Just surprised me. I was like, didn't that literally just come out a couple of weeks ago?
Mm. Golden Globes often get questioned for the dubious nature of some of their selection processes.
Well, yes. It's the Golden Globes, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean,
Cats got nominated for the song before the film was even finished, and some might argue it's not finished. But, yeah.
I know a lot of people discredit, you know, the Hollywood foreign press and people, including Ricky Gervais, were doing so up on stage. But perhaps what they don't get enough credit for is there is a little bit of a tastemaker role that they play. And I think that they do often pick up on shows which are buzzed about and are sort of trending. And and without having to kind of tip their hat to these sort of long-running legacies of sort of different star power, you know, they can give awards to shows that are just cutting through.
Yeah.
I think that they've done that before.
Yeah, true.
But Olivia Colman, she probably doesn't need another award on her mantelpiece, but it is
who
just
does.
Yeah, but it was nice to see her get up completely ill-prepared, admitting to having been drinking all night and not having a speech. She did say that for the last year she's felt like she's been living someone else's life, and now she's definitely won someone else's award, which was cute.
That is cute. I did wonder. It appears she's very much like that in person, so I do feel like it is her persona up there. But part of me did go, is this your shtick when you win something to be totally unprepared? I think it's probably a little from column A, a little from column B. Like, I think it is her shtick, but also it's very much who she is, and she's had a lifetime of doing that. And she's genuinely surprised as well at this late career, well, you know, mid-career, I guess, star wattage that she's now getting this amazing recognition. So, I mean, I'm totally in the Olivia Colman camp. It's just if she keeps doing this for the next 10 years of, oh, my goodness, can't believe you picked me, then I will say I'm right on this.
Yeah. Let's see if she says that when she gets a Lifetime Achievement Award.
When she gets her Cecil B. DeMille.
Yeah. Well, speaking of.
Yes.
Well, let's go to the Cecil B. DeMille. Charlize Theron gave the introduction to this award, giving it to Tom Hanks. Yep, surely he's earned this kind of award by now.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, her introduction was very moving because you might wonder, well, why is Charlize giving this? But because she had a very personal connection in that one of her first films was That Thing You Do, where she was hired for that. And
Tom Hanks learnt that he shouldn't really direct movies. But, you know, he gave it a red hot crack.
Nonetheless, we have Charlize now. But you know, was very green and confesses that she kind of blew the first attempt at the audition. And then he very kindly said, oh, I just need to do something for 5 minutes. I'll be back. Mm. And she's saying, well, he knew.
Yeah, he didn't need the 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But his face at the time was like, oh, actually, I really did. I had something to do. But her point was he very kindly just gave her the 5 minutes that she clearly needed to compose herself to then be able to audition.
Five minutes gave her a lifetime of her career.
Yeah, and there's an Oscar sitting on the shelf, not for That Thing You Do. But, no, it was really lovely to see that kind of touching impact. And the montage was great because you just watch them and go, well, yeah, amazing. And you see, like, Bachelor Party was in there and the Bosom Buddies, of which I was always a fan, and Big and the Burbs and, like, his comedies. But then the really moving, when he did move to drama, just that eclectic career that – and he appears to have just constantly stayed true to himself and just is really very – just great. He's Tom Hanks.
Yeah, very well-deserved. And
I will say I have seen A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood and it's just – I wept. It was so beautiful. And I'm shocked that Mariel Heller didn't get nominated because the way it is directed makes it so good, and the way the creativity in the way this film has been made, and it plays with storytelling. I loved it. So Anyway, that's coming out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, hopefully future award recognition for her.
Well, hopefully Oscar, honestly. Yeah. I just, if that doesn't get, yeah, I was shocked.
And in the television lifetime achievement category, the Carol Burnett Award, that went to Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes.
With a lovely introduction from Kate McKinnon.
Fantastic introduction.
Yeah. Again, very moving because I think genuinely about personal connections. And I think that, you know, Golden Globes on a good night, you do get that kind of love in the room because it is a sort of more rowdy, sort of less guarded room.
Yes.
And so Kate talked about, you know, growing up and realizing that she was gay and not having role models around her, but having Ellen DeGeneres on the television as an out woman that told her not only that's okay, but you too can have a career in television.
And risking a lot by coming out, Ellen did. And they, you know, that was a great montage as well for her. But no, Kate McKinnon's introduction was fantastic. And someone did tweet, like, are you telling me Kate McKinnon could have hosted this?
I saw that.
Yeah. It was very good. Yeah, really put Ricky Gervais to shame, I thought. But excellent.
Yes. And I mean, as you alluded to, she lost her sitcom after she came out. So there were, you know, kind of personal and career costs for her at that time. But she transformed herself into a daytime television host. And now sort of the leaders of the free world boogie along beside her whenever they get an opportunity.
Yep, get their surprises and always dancing or singing. And has crafted this persona as well that, you know, seems unshakable. Even she copped a lot of flack for the tweet with President Bush being sitting next to him, and like her whole shtick is that everyone should be able to get along, always find some common ground.
Yes.
So, you know, she isn't immune to criticism, but yeah, in terms of it's career based and it's the Carol Burnett Honorary Award that was introduced last year and given to Carol Burnett because of course it was. So Ellen's the next recipient of that. Yeah.
Yeah. She made a funny crack in her speech that she couldn't have done it without her husband, Mark. And just, in fact, it was a, like enjoyable little set that kind of riffed on the experience of being in awards shows and played on the kind of cliched things that people say when they accept awards.
And the kind of cliched things people did say who followed her.
Yeah.
And she also made light of the fact that as one of the recipients of an honorary award, she gets as long as she needs to tell that to give her speech. So she and Tom Hanks get
the show. She was going to milk it.
Very much. And it.
Chernobyl, again, sort of in that best of lists, that came up a few times for wins.
Yes, it did win. That was a good one. What else did we see that was on our lists? Succession, best TV series.
Yeah.
Which was excellent.
So one of the big awards, as well as best actor award for Brian Cox, as we mentioned.
Surprise animated winner. Animated film, Missing Link, which I haven't heard a whole lot about, but beat three Disney films, Frozen 2, The Lion King, and Toy Story 4, and also beat Universal's How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. And the recipients of that award looked genuinely shocked. They were, was quite, I love seeing people who are the kind of people you don't normally see on the stage, like not just an Olivia Colman who didn't expect to win that one, but someone who is there. It's an honour to be nominated genuinely, and then they get up there and you can see they are flabbergasted by having beaten Disney and Universal for the animated award.
Yeah. Taron Egerton also
at least
sort of feigned surprise and that he hadn't prepared a speech. So there were a few of these surprised winners, although you would have thought sort of he would have had a good chance at that in the comedy musical actor category.
Yeah. Look, I would just say just write one. You never know. You know, just no one's going to think – no one needs to know that you wrote one if you lose, but just have one just in case.
Yeah, And Joaquin Phoenix, one for Joker, sort of went a bit astray in his speech. If he had one prepared, it was a bit rambling. A lot of swearing. And Awkwafina won for The Farewell, also in our list.
Also one of our favourites, yeah, which was great. And a really lovely speech as well, like very personal and a little funny. And that was just, that was a good, who was she up against? Ana de Armas for Knives Out, Kate Blanchett for Where'd You Go, Bernadette, which didn't do great business, so I don't think a lot of people have seen. Beanie Feldstein for Booksmart, Emma Thompson for Late Night. Yeah, Awkwafina was the winner for that one. That was wonderful.
Yeah. She dedicated it, amongst others, to her dad, Wally, and said, I told you I'd get a job, Dad.
Yeah, and it was her first time at the Globes, so is thus far having a good strike rate with her attendance at the Globes. Brad Pitt.
Yeah, Brad Pitt, the winner for Best Supporting Actor.
Not really surprised that.
No. Made a crack about that he told Leonardo DiCaprio that he would have shared the raft in a not quite accurate Titanic reference.
It wasn't a raft.
It was a door. We know it was a door. Everyone knows that.
Well, I think it was a portion of the wall or something, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. Now yeah, I've embarrassed myself.
Yeah. Anyway, it wasn't a raft, Brad. So.
And I also feel like he kind of misunderstood the reference in that he was blaming Leo as though Leo was the one that didn't share it.
Yeah. Oh, Brad.
Anyway. You tried to get pop culture-y.
No, well, surely. I mean, he's putting himself in Kate Blanchett's. He would have moved aside to get Leo on.
Winslet.
What did I say?
Blanchett.
Oh, well, I can't fault Brad Pitt for flopping the line when I get my Kates mixed up. Whoops.
We've all been drinking. We've been drinking along.
We were just at the Globes,
everyone. Just like the stars.
Yeah. Oh, dear God. Winslet, thank you. That he would have put himself in her stead and let Leo up on the raft, door, wall, whatever the hell it was.
Yes. Speaking of about how the Globes have been awarding some films and TV shows like The Crown, only very recently came out.
Rami.
But a movie which was a big winner on the night, which is yet to even have a wide release in the US, yep, yet to be released at all in Australia, is 1917.
Yes, and I'm regretting not going to that screening now because I haven't seen it, so I don't know on that one. But
well, no surprises that I haven't seen it either. But it won for best drama and for best director
for Sam Mendes.
Yeah, kind of. I guess like maybe a slight surprise there against The Irishman and Martin Scorsese, which I think probably would have been tipped to be the favourite.
Well, my hopes were with Parasite for that one, but yeah, it's true. I mean, Sam Mendes up against Bong Joon-ho, Todd Phillips, Martin Scorsese. Sorry, I can't disguise
the facial expression that goes with it. You really missed out for those listening along at home.
And Quentin Tarantino as well. So it was a big field, all male, of course, for director. Should have been Mariel Heller in there as well.
Mm.
Yeah, interesting. 1917 is in that one.
Yeah, I don't know much about this movie, but, you know, clearly First World War film set in the trenches in Europe. Aussie actor, I noticed, as one of the leads. Mm-hmm. But they made the point that sort of not name cast. So
which
that,
you said with them right behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Sam.
But presumably the recognition from these awards will help the film.
Exactly. And this one does have that kind of, had the early buzz of it's a one-take film.
Oh,
that it's
really?
All sort of real time. I mean,
it's like not. Rope.
In the way Birdman was, though. So
yeah, fake.
It is fake.
But,
yeah.
But you know,
but has that
for
immediacy?
All intents and purposes.
Yeah, there's sort of a message it needs
well, that's
to be.
Fun.
Isn't it, though? You can look for all the subtle edits.
Yeah.
But you should be paying attention to what's happening on screen as well.
Yeah. Probably not working as a movie if all you're thinking about is sort of like, where did they fake that edit?
Did they go in a tunnel there and they've come out? Oh, that's where the
But I'm sure film students for decades, you know, will be trying to unpack that part of it.
Yes, no doubt. Some doubt, but yeah. What else have we got? Is that it? The song from Rocketman, I'm Gonna Love Me Again.
Yes.
One.
I haven't seen the movie.
Rocketman?
I haven't seen it. Okay. No, I haven't. I've heard great things. Mm. But it does annoy me, though, how pre-existing musicals will write in a brand new song for the sole purpose of picking up these awards. Mm-hmm. And surely, I mean,
looking at you, Cats and Lion King.
Well, tell me Well, actually, Lion King maybe I'll slightly defend because I think that Beyoncé song just plays over a montage sequence and kind of doesn't break the flow of the film, and it is actually a pretty good song. But I'm thinking of something like Les Miserables, which has the songs are all, everyone knows the songs. You know, it's basically a sing-along musical. Mm. And then they just blow everything by having Hugh Jackman kind of sing something you've never heard before just for the sake of awards nights.
But, well, Cats tried and they didn't win.
Yeah, well, tell me, in Rocket Man, is it slightly annoying that there's this brand new Elton song that no one's ever heard before?
Well, I could be completely wrong on this. I haven't Googled it yet, but I think that's the song over the end credits. So I think
that's fine.
Yeah, I think it's all right.
Yeah,
that's the only one
that should be done more often.
Pretty sure that's the only one. Well, like, it is the only one Elton sings, and I'm fairly certain it's the one that is over the end credits.
Now,
feel free to at me if I'm wrong.
I feel like all Hollywood movies should be required to have an original song over the end credits. I'm all up for that.
You're changing your opinions at breakneck speed, but yes.
And a lovely moment, Elton John and Bernie Taupin, when they introduced the movie as one of the eligible movies for the Best Picture Prize, got a standing ovation.
Lovely.
Up on stage.
Yes.
Nice moment.
Elton's going to be there because he also produced the film. Yeah. You're going to get him up on stage in some capacity and he's going to introduce the movie about his own life. Of course he is. But it's very good that Bernie was there as well because the film does very much spotlight their relationship and how mutually beneficial and supportive they've been. They were to each other in that difficult period that the film spotlights. So,
yeah.
Lovely.
I think we've covered most of the awards now. Patricia Arquette, her prize was for The Act, which I haven't seen. Apparently she's quite good in it.
Enough to win a Golden Globe at the very least. Yeah, that's the film sort of about Munchausen by proxy, isn't it?
Yeah. Which actually is a recurring theme in a few dramas from the past year.
But Unbelievable, sadly, didn't get anything.
No. Yeah, we had the Unbelievable table, which got featured many times, you know, in the roaming cameras, but no, nothing.
Wasn't to be.
No prizes, sadly. Mm. I think the only other thing which I wanted to call out is, and it took me a long time to figure out who this person was, but there was a long-haired, beautifully long-haired, slightly bewildered-looking man, young man, up on stage, sort of trying to usher people to where they should go after
somewhat
they accepted their awards. Took me a long time to figure out via Google that was, in fact, Pierce Brosnan's son, Dylan. Mm-hmm. Who apparently his brother Paris was also up there.
They were both doing it. Yeah, maybe you had a toilet break. They did come on stage. Pierce came on and introduced them because they were the Mr. Golden Globes. It's always the offspring of someone.
Like that did ring a bell.
Yes.
Yeah, that happens.
Yes. A child of a Hollywood celebrity is always handing out the gongs at the ceremony. So
what you're telling me is I'm never going to get that gig.
Look. I don't think I'm the one telling you that. Yeah, I think if you haven't twigged by now, you're just waiting for the call.
I could usher people off stage as poorly as he did.
Okay, well, maybe your parents need to get some...
Yeah, some screen credits. Yeah,
absolutely.
Come on, Mum and Dad.
Yeah. So that was their shot this year. And then I saw a tweet of Laura Dern, who was a winner for Marriage Story and gave a good gag about finally giving some... biographical and acclaim for divorce lawyers.
Yeah.
That was a good gag. But, she was once a Miss Golden Globe.
Oh,
being
sweet.
The offspring of some Hollywood royalty herself.
Oh, great. She could have given them a few pointers while she was up there.
Help Dylan with his ushering because it didn't work with Brad Pitt.
Yeah. You want to know how it's done? This is how it's done.
Yeah. So there you go.
So that was, three and a half hours or so well spent and encapsulated for you so you don't have to watch it all yourself.
No. And, I mean, it's the next best thing to being there with us just rocketing through all that.
And hopefully you're drunk while you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, you
That's the way it should be done.
I'm not. I had a quick salad and then didn't have a toilet break for 3.5 hours, so I wish I had a drink with me. First day back at work, though, can't complain that I've pretty much given it all over to watching the Golden Globes and making a podcast out of it.
We've all effectively made use of our time back at work. I think we can say that at the very least.
Totally. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch it again? There's a repeat tonight.
I surely will.
That is not going to get you in the Golden Globes auditorium with that kind of conviction, mate. Look, I might, with a bit of a fast forward. My husband hasn't seen it yet, so he might have it on tonight, and I might just poke my head in again to spoil it for him.
If I actually do have booze, that would be my sole requirement. and a young 22-year-old with long hair telling me where to sit next.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
I think that's it.
I think sort of welcome back, everyone, for 2020. That's the end of...
Well, do you want to do a quick, what have you been watching? What have you been watching? Did you watch anything over the break? You travel a lot, maybe not.
For people who don't know, I was at the Woodford Folk Festival over the last week, and there were very few screen watching opportunities there. There was a screening of 2040, the documentary, with a Q&A.
But Damon Gammon. Yep.
Yeah, I didn't make it to that one. No. I did manage on my arrival back home to watch the final episode of The Mandalorian, which...
I haven't seen it yet.
Which had sort of come out during the week, which, sort of wrapped things up with a lot of action. What about you, Fee?
Well, one thing I did watch, which is on Netflix, bleep this if you need, Jeremy, producer Jeremy, but Don't F*** With Cats, the true crime documentary 4-part series.
I don't know it.
It's very good.
Okay.
Very grueling, but the long title is Don't F*** With Cats, Hunting an Internet Killer. And it's speaking to a group of online, really just nerds who noticed some things popping up in their Facebook to do with animal cruelty and with cats and trying to find the identity of this, of the perpetrator, and then knowing what you know of people who harm animals and what their likelihood is that they might turn to humans.
Yeah.
How they were trying to catch him before he started on people. Yeah. It's really hard. Like they show enough of some of the footage for it to be pretty grueling, but nothing. Well, it's bad, but not the whole videos. Let's just put it that way. That's pretty incredible. Yeah, I gave over an afternoon to watching that. Would recommend that if it doesn't trigger anything for you. But that was pretty great.
Sounds intense.
Very intense. That is a good word for it, one that I missed. Downsizing, which was a downer. The Matt Damon film from a couple of years back. Yeah. Bit of a misfire from Alexander Payne, whose films
I
usually love.
That's what I heard at the time. Yeah.
Yes, with a very broad support. I think she actually was nominated for a Golden Globe last year, but a Vietnamese actress.
Yes.
Very broad characterization of an Asian character, which was, why is she playing it that way? But
I'm almost intrigued to see it because it sounds like so much goes wrong, sort of went wrong.
Mm.
In the putting together of that film.
Yeah, yeah, broadly. It's a very high concept film about,
Had a good trailer, I recall.
Sure. It's a great trailer. But when you play it all out, basically the demands on natural resources are becoming such that the only real way to fend off climate catastrophe is if humans literally shrink in size. So there is some developments of how that's realised, and Matt Damon decides to shrink. He and his wife make that decision, but one of them bails, let's put it that way, and then it goes to a whole lot of places, literally, in fact. No, didn't care for it. So there you go.
Give that one a miss.
Plus and a minus from me and my holiday viewing. Anyway, I could go on, but I won't. It's been a long day.
All right, for the second time I'll attempt to wrap the show. That's it, but great to be back for 2020. So much more to talk about for this year. And you can keep on listening by subscribing to SBS The Playlist wherever you get your podcasts, and give us a lot of stars and leave a nice review because it helps people to find the show. And you can let us know what you thought of the movies and TV shows we discussed, including the Golden Globes. We really want to know what you think on Facebook or Twitter at SBS Movies. And I'm on Twitter at Ben Nguyen TV.
And I'm on Twitter at Anything But Fifi.
And The Playlist is produced by Jeremy Wilmot. Great to have you back, Jeremy.
Woohoo!
So, until next time.
Thanks for listening.